Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Haman Sunim's love for imperfect things. Sophie, this book basically tells us to stop trying to be perfect. So tell me, what actually changed for you when you read it?
Hey, I think it gave me permission to slow down. Sunim says we keep chasing a version of ourselves that doesn't exist, and all that striving is exactly what makes us miserable. It sounds simple, but it hit me hard.
I can see that. The opening really stuck with me. He talks about how we tell ourselves we'll be happy once we lose weight or get promoted. But we never actually get there, right? Something else always appears.
Exactly. And he calls that conditional love. We're putting conditions on our own worth. The book is basically a reminder that we're already worthy, even with all our flaws and uncertainties.
So does he just want us to give up and accept mediocrity? Because that's what I usually hear when people talk about self-compassion.
No, that's the best part. He's not saying stop growing. He's saying stop fighting the present moment. When we accept where we are, we actually get more clarity to move forward from a place of kindness instead of shame.
Okay, that makes sense. And he ties a lot of this to how we treat other people. It's like if I'm harsh with myself, I'll be harsh with you.
Yeah, that's one of his core ideas. Our relationships mirror our inner state. If we can't forgive our own mistakes, we struggle to forgive others. So the work has to start inside.
There's this story I loved when he talks about listening. He says we often listen to reply, not to understand. And true listening, like fully being present, is a form of love.
Right, and that takes practice. I remember he wrote about setting aside your own agenda, not waiting for your turn to talk. It's simple, but really hard to do.
What about forgiveness? He has a chapter on that, right? I think he says it's not about the other person deserving it.
Exactly. He says we forgive for our own peace. It's about releasing the grip the past has on us, not pretending it didn't happen. Otherwise, we carry that weight around forever.
That's powerful. And then there's the part that made me want to put the book down and just breathe. He talks about impermanence, how everything changes, and how that's actually freeing instead of sad.
Yes. When we stop clinging to things, we appreciate them more. He says the love we share doesn't disappear when someone's gone. It keeps shaping us. That's a beautiful perspective on loss.
The whole book feels like a conversation with a wise friend. He doesn't preach. He just shares stories and observation from his own life as a monk.
And he's not anti-ambition either. He just wants us to rest, to say no to things that drain us, to value our limits. In a culture obsessed with productivity, that's radical.
Right, because when we take care of ourselves, we actually have more to give. But I also loved what he says about comparison. That's the real thief of joy.
Oh, totally. He says when we compare, we're comparing apples to oranges. Everyone has a different path. The only comparison that matters is with who you were yesterday.
He also wrote about loneliness and vulnerability. That hit home for me. He says we hide behind masks of competence, but true connection only happens when we let people see our messiness.
Yes, and when we open up, we give others permission to do the same. It's like a gift. He says mutual vulnerability creates real intimacy.
And I think that's why the book feels so relevant. We're more connected than ever, yet more lonely. He says we need real connection, not just digital likes.
Yeah, he talks about community too. Being part of a group, like a meditation circle or even a book club, reminds us we're not isolated.
That's a great way to put it. And I love that he weaves in Buddhist teachings without making it feel religious. It's more like universal wisdom.
Definitely. He's writing from his own experience, and it feels authentic. You can tell he's been through real struggles, not just reading about them.
One thing I keep coming back to is how he says the present moment is all we ever have. I tried actually eating a meal without my phone, and it was uncomfortable, but also kind of amazing.
That's a perfect example. He says we miss our whole lives while scrolling. Washing dishes can be a meditation if you pay attention.
So maybe the title Love for Imperfect Things is about more than just self-love. It's about loving the imperfect people around us, the imperfect moments, the imperfect world.
Absolutely. And that's the radical part. He's not asking us to fix everything. He's asking us to love it as it is. That's where peace comes from.
They're the line I highlighted. The peace we seek in the world must first be cultivated within ourselves. That feels so relevant right now.
Yes, because when you're grounded in inner peace, you can act in the world from clarity and compassion instead of anger. It's empowering, not passive.
He also has this beautiful section on rest. He talks about how we've turned busyness into a badge of honor. But real rest isn't lazy, it's necessary.
And he says we need silence too. Not just sleep, but time to simply be. That's something I struggle with.
Same here. But how does he suggest we actually fit that into your life? I mean, we have jobs, families, and obligations.
He suggests starting small. Maybe just 5 minutes of stillness in the morning, or a slow walk without your phone. It's about setting boundaries and saying no to things that drain you.
Okay, so it's not about escaping life. It's about being more present in it. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. And when you're more present, you're more kind, more patient, more loving. It all circles back.
There's something so comforting about the way he writes. It's like a warm blanket on a cold day. I find myself picking it up when I'm stressed.
That's exactly the energy of the book. It doesn't demand anything from you. It just sits with you and reminds you that you're not alone.
For me, the one thing I'm taking away is to practice self-compassion every single day. Not just when I feel bad, but as a regular habit. That's the root of everything else.
And if you want to carry that with you, you can find the whole library on the 7-Minute Books app. There are 6,000 plus fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So the real invitation is to embrace your imperfections and let that love ripple outward. We'll see you in the next one.